Welcome to Escape This Podcast, a show that's a mix between tabletop role-playing and escape room puzzles. We're on episode 9 of season 14. Although in the player, it'll say like episode 17 because we do fake half episodes. The whole numbering system is completely out of whack.
The post shows?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, we've thrown everything off. But in our hearts, it's episode 9. Every episode, we have guests come on and play through an audio escape room that Danny has created out of nothing, just forcing it into existence through sheer force of will.
Do we need to change this to say most episodes?
Most episodes. You know what? At this point, like 50-50, whether Danny writes them or somebody else does. Mm. But this one, Danny wrote, and we have returning guests joining us again from Join the Party Pod. It's Eric. Hello.
Hello.
And Julia.
Hello.
We're back.
We're excited to have you.
We're excited to be back.
I've sharpened my skills. I've been underneath a waterfall for the entire time since I've been on the last episode.
Nice.
Just like really sharpening my key to make sure I know how to solve these escape rooms.
And I've been studying the blade.
Nice. Well, look, we're excited to have you back. It's been, let's say, a year since you've been on. This is an escape room show. Have there been any updates to your escape room experience in the last year or so?
No, absolutely not. I'm still, the only escape room I've ever done was this podcast, and that remains true to this day.
Which is remarkable, because you were such an amazing team.
Yeah, play more escape rooms, Julia.
I know, I want to.
Well, what about you, Eric? Have you done any new escape rooms in the last year or so?
Yeah, I've done one or two. The notable one I did was I did Beat the Bomb with...
Oh, love Beat the Bomb. Dan is wearing a Beat the Bomb shirt right now.
Oh, you're wearing a Beat the Bomb shirt.
That we got from New York when we did Beat the Bomb.
Okay, so did you do the one in Dumbo?
That's too much information. New York
place.
Great.
Sorry. We were in Brooklyn.
There's no neighborhoods.
Okay, you're in the Brooklyn one. There, I know there's multiple. That's the reason why I asked.
Good for
because
them.
I know they're all different. I did it with my friend Jeff, and we beat the bomb. We did it on the first try. We just did it. And the thing that they ask you about Beat the Bomb, the whole thing about it is that you're trying to do a bunch of like mini puzzles as you stack them together. It's not like a full escape room experience. But the thing at the end is that you get blasted with a paint bomb or other different types of bombs. And I think the expectation is, oh my God, you're here. You must want to get blasted by paint regardless. And I won. And they said, do you want to get blasted by paint? And I said, no, thank you. And I walked out.
You fool.
What?
It's such an enjoyable experience.
We got the same thing. We beat the bomb and we absolutely said yes.
We were like, oh no, we beat the bomb. Now we don't get blown up with paint.
I'm a winner. Why would I do the loser activity?
The other element of this show is that it's escape rooms mixed with a sort of tabletop role-playing style. I can't imagine you've played any tabletop role-playing games in the last year, but do you have any, how has your tabletop role-playing experience been going this last year?
I mean, nothing super notable, I don't think. What about you, Eric?
Oh, just the fact we do it regularly, putting out Join the Party weekly, probably. No, it's been good. Our most recent campaign that I think we must have started around the time.
Yeah, you will. This was, I'm going to just call it Fruit Pirates. Is that an appropriate way to talk about
it? Yes.
Planted bug pirates is what we're doing. We're like more than 40 episodes in now, and it's so much fun. I love the world. I love everything we've been doing with it lately. The most recent few episodes have been absolute bangers, in my personal opinion. There is a trick of mine that I know if I'm doing a good job that from the beginning of me learning to Dungeon Master, which is that if I can make Julia have a physical reaction via her emotions while I am DMing, I'm doing a good job.
Yeah, we recorded yesterday and at the end of the recording, I was like, Eric, my heart was beating so hard during that you could see it in the video recording, like just going again, like my shirt was moving because my heart was beating so fast.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we're ready to start. Danny, are you ready to get the room going?
Oh, fingers crossed.
I've crossed my fingers. No one can see this at home, but I have.
All right. Let's do this then. What a pleasant evening you've had. Great food, great atmosphere, a delightful evening eating alone, which is exactly how you like it, at the newest fancy restaurant in town, Salsafrost. You couldn't be prouder of your mum, the owner of this place, and the reason you were able to get one of the exclusive upstairs tables tonight. Seriously, up here, it's just you, a restaurant critic, a movie star, and a table of well-dressed dudes. Four tables. There's also a massive party going on downstairs, but those are downstairs people. You lean back in your chair and enjoy your surroundings. The four tables are positioned, you know, sort of like corners of a spacious square, with yours in the northwest. The northeast table is the one occupied by the movie star, Shannon Pennell, international sensation, also dining alone, but picking up her phone a good deal. The southeast table has the well-dressed men, three of them, and their expressions are more serious than leisurely. And the southwest table has the critic. The east wall has a door to the kitchen, the west wall a door to the bathroom, and the south wall a door leading to the stairs out. Now, you don't plan on crashing the party down there or leaving anytime soon.
Of course. Why? My mom doesn't want me to leave. That would just be embarrassing.
To the south, also near that exit door, there is a lectern acting as the reservation desk.
I wrote down resies.
Julia, I did the same thing. I wrote resies.
You're turning more Australian by the minute on this show.
No!
And against the north wall are the two most interesting features, perhaps. Maybe you agree. The cylindrical glass cake case, closer to Shannon's table. Not rotating, sadly. And a long aquarium with live crabs in it, closer to yours.
Nice.
Everything is great. Perfect.
Julia,
relaxing.
Stop naming the crabs. Julia, stop naming the crabs.
But that one's Charles.
Oh, Julia, my mom, our mom's gonna be so pissed.
I know.
Everything is perfect, relaxing. And then a member of the waitstaff approaches you. She's holding a shiny plate and wearing a shiny name badge that says Teresa.
Two slices of our delicious Battenberg cake, complimentary as a thank you for your presence on our special night. From me, your mobile dessert deliverer. I consider the Battenberg our calling card.
Well, isn't that nice, if a bit weird? And nobody else is being given free cake, as far as you can see. Not even the critic. Tonight was a set menu. You're all supposed to receive the same thing. Huh, okay, and this cake doesn't look 100% right. Battenberg doesn't usually have poppy seeds, does it? You open your mouth to say something, but Teresa's already vanished. So puzzled, you stare at this cake. And you get given an image before you are even given freedom to explore the room.
Uh-oh.
For those who might not know, what is Battenberg cake?
Battenberg cake is a traditional cake of the United Kingdom, which is like a checkerboard pattern cake. It's like you get like a bunch of cakes and you cut them into little cakes, you stick those cakes together to make a new cake.
And most of the ones I've seen are pink and yellow.
Pink and yellow,
with
pink and yellow.
A little bit of some sort of fruit jam between the layers. Apricot is the one I think I've seen most often, which sounds rare, but apparently not.
Everybody loves apricot jam. Well, you can see this image in the show notes below. But Julia, would you like to describe this for the people playing
along at home?
Does
it match how we have just described Battenberg cake?
Yes. Yes, it does. I didn't know what Battenberg cake was. So I was like, okay, I'm going to Google that later. Good to know. But it is kind of in that like checkerboard square as you described. But several of the checkerboard pieces have what you described as poppy seeds, but are in a particularly geometric pattern, I would say.
Interesting.
Interesting. Yeah. That's going to be important later.
Mary Berry is going to be really pissed at this Battenberg cake.
Yeah, the distribution is not very good of the poppy seeds if we were going to really critique it. Like, our mom is kind of failing here.
This has some real, like, I can see this in, like, a murder romance that, like, the Battenberg cake is also, like, it's usually a square, but this is a 3x4 slice of each one. So it's like, the Battenberg was strange. That's how I knew it was a clue.
Fair, but you are right, the Battenberg is strange. Most traditional Battenberg is just a 2x2, and this is a 3x4 grid of berg.
Exactly.
Interesting.
And the weird part is, there's nothing else for you to do yet. This isn't an escape room yet. This is just you sitting at a table with weird cake. This is all you have right now.
Oh no.
Solve
what do
my
I do
cake.
With the cake?
solve the cake.
Eric, what do we do with the cake?
All right. Well, I'm going to go downstairs with the party. I'm going to see you later.
Yeah, that checks out. Should I offer cake to a movie star? Would that be like a sexy thing for me to do? Is that very LA?
That's valid. But at this stage, no one else in the room looks like they're going to pay you any mind. No one looks like they particularly want anything to do with you. Really? Social awkwardness prevents you from leaving your chair right now.
Ah, sure. Okay. Interesting. All right,
I was going to go to the bathroom while we were waiting for something to happen. But that's
You'll go to the bathroom when someone tells you you can go to the bathroom.
All right, Mom. Jesus.
Yes, ma'am.
I would like to try. Are there two slices? Are we two people? I forget. I'm so sorry.
You are a single person.
A single person, with two slices.
We're conjoined twins.
Got it. I would like to try the at least a piece of the bottom row of the Battenberg cake of the first slice. At least some of the bottom ones, so I get both the yellow and the pink.
I like that you are unsuspicious of this. But yeah, you can pull a tiny bit off with your tiny little dessert spoon. And to the best of your senses, it tastes like what a Battenberg cake is supposed to taste like.
Mm-hmm. Fair. Mm-hmm. Okay. Not poisoned. Probably not.
We'll find out in 5 to 10 minutes.
Well. Yeah.
I'm like looking at the fact that on the left-hand side, Eric, that it almost fills the whole thing if we combine the two that have poppy seeds on them.
Yeah, I was thinking about combining these in some sort of way.
Yeah, like if we but rotate it and lay it on, does that work?
That's what I was thinking. The slices on each other, or folding the slices with each other, or are we supposed to add up the pink and the yellow? There's just like a lot of different ideas.
Yeah.
None of them are coming together.
I'm going to start putting numbers together, I guess, for total of pink, total of yellow. Because it's like on the left hand side, it's 3 and 8, right?
Mm-hmm.
So left is 3 and 8. 8 is yellow. 3 is pink. On the right hand side, it's 13 pink and 1, 2, 3 yellow.
3 yellow. Okay. Yeah. Those are similar. I guess I'm trying to figure out what is it that. Oh boy.
What are we supposed to do?
Yeah, right? Exactly. Like,
if I was sitting here, what would I want? Well, here's the thing about Teresa that I had a question about. Why did Teresa call herself a mobile cake deliverer?
That's a very good question.
I was like, what was that?
I was like, all right, Teresa. Formal for our mom's restaurant.
Not gonna lie, that wording was super weird.
Like, is this like a punch card for a computer, like an old-timey computer or something?
Is it Morse code?
I mean, it's almost always Morse code, isn't it?
I know we're at our table right now, and the cake stand is not close to us, but now I'm thinking about, like, mobile cake delivery or dessert delivery and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's a person, but the other thing is a non-mobile, it like distinctly does not move cake stand. So sure. I'm like, is that something?
Can you tell me what Teresa said again?
Yes, Teresa said, 2 slices of our delicious Battenberg cake, complimentary as a thank you for your presence on our special night, from me, your mobile dessert deliverer. I consider the Battenberg our calling card.
Calling card. Oh.
Calling card, yeah.
Oh, is it like phone numbers?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's the phone number. Because, I mean, all these numbers theoretically should be on a phone.
Hold on, yeah. Well, no, is this like a... hold on, I'm trying to like pull up my phone like that, right? Like, so...
Yeah.
You have like 666 777 like... I don't think we're hitting them 3 times each or anything like that, but...
No, I don't think this is T... Do you think this is, like, T9? Like, the number of times...
Yes, I think it is. So, hold on. Okay. So, that's, like, an O. The second one... Oh, hold on. I lost my phone numbers. No! My phone is too... Okay, so O-S-S, maybe? And then the other one is C-H. Oh, no. This is too many.
Yeah, with the eight. Eight in the thing.
O-O-M, maybe?
Oh, you think they're spelled out? Like, it's spelled out like that? Oh, wait, no, you're right. I think that's right. I think this is correct.
Okay, and then T. Okay, so I have O-S-S-C-H-O-O-M-R-T.
Double check that C.
Oh, it's probably B-A.
Yeah, so there are three dots there, but there's two dots, and then below that, one dot in the second slot.
And in some of the others, you separated them by line.
So let me look at those again.
For people playing along at home, especially people who are younger than, let's say, 30 years old, what they're doing as they go through this is a 3x4 grid, like on a phone.
If you look at your phone, the actual buttons thing, they still do have this. They still have letters written on them.
Where if you press 6 three times, because there's three dots on it, you would get to the letter O.
This is what Leonardo DiCaprio was doing in his pocket in The Departed while he was trying to send a text. Or was that Matt Damon? I can't remember. Millennials,
no, it's
we
Leo.
Did
it's
it.
Leo. You're right.
Okay, got nailed it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I have O-S-S-B-A-H-O-O-M-R-T. If I remember correctly, I'm bad at scrambling or unscrambling words.
Oh, that's right. It's SOS, I bet, is that first one. Because my mom...
Bathroom. It's bathroom.
SOS bathroom.
Yeah. SOS you were right bathroom. The whole time. We should have gone to the bathroom.
But social awkward. See, this is why you need to push through your social awkwardness and do the thing you want
to
do.
Mm-hmm. This is why we were told we'll go to the bathroom when we're told we can go to the bathroom.
Oh, there it is.
Would you like to go to the bathroom?
Yes, please.
I would.
Sorry, that's may you like to go to the bathroom.
Yes, please.
All right, feeling a little weirded out, but also proud of yourself. You leave your table and head to the unisex bathroom. Pushing open the door, your first impression is the sparkling whiteness of the tiles, the uniform neatness of the stalls, the walls, unmarked, unless you count the light switch and the thermostat right by the entrance. And then you notice the head poke out from the furthest stall.
Uh-oh.
It's Teresa. You tiptoe over to her.
I had to say something. I don't want it to get out or everyone will panic, but you're the owner's kid, right? So you might be able to do something about it. I found something in the kitchen. A note, thrown away, but not very well. It had instructions on it. Someone in there poisoned one of the soup bowls with lutavicin. I don't know who, and I don't know which one.
Your eyes widen. You've heard of lutavicin. It takes an hour or two to kick in, and then when it does, it is deadly. There can't be a deadly poisoning at your mother's restaurant. The victim has to get to the hospital. Then Teresa shakes her head when you say that.
You want to cause a panic? That'll be terrible for business. Salts of Frost will be over before it's even begun. Besides, I don't know which soup was poisoned.
Oh no. It was a fixed menu. Everyone in the upstairs area had the soup. The victim could be anyone. It could be you.
Oh no.
Anyway, I'm out of here. If there's a poisoner on the loose, I don't want to be next.
And she sprints out, leaving you alone, helpless.
Teresa, that is suspicious.
Thanks,
very
Teresa.
Suspicious.
That is the worst mobile dessert deliverer I've ever seen.
Oh, somebody needs dessert. I have to deliver it to them. Bye.
So you stand there, you shake your head. Lutavicin. Actually, wasn't there like a TV special on that not long ago? You were only half watching. You're pretty sure there's an antidote, and it was a fairly simple one. Like, you could DIY it, but you cannot remember the ingredients. Surely you can just Google them. Ah. Actually, you didn't bring your phone tonight. All of your Battenberg cake work was from memory. You decided that it was a good idea to disconnect, and... Look, let's be real, it was your mom's idea.
And then you realize it's 2003.
Well, you don't have time to leave. You need to figure out the antidote and figure out who to give it to. Quickly.
Okay. Cool.
Did she give us the note?
Yeah, did she give us the note?
She did not.
No, I ate it.
Teresa, what the hell?
That's not the antidote. The note is not the antidote.
No, I know it was about the poison, but they'd
it was
it out
just
on some
to
broth.
Do arrive. Poison soup, and they were both checked off.
It has no further value.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to straighten our tie. We're going to smooth our hair down. And we're going to take a deep breath and calmly walk back into the room and say loudly, I'm just going to give my mom a big kiss for doing such a good job.
And I love my mom.
I love my mom, much like all of us do, probably. And then I'm going to walk into the kitchen.
I may be a food critic, but I have no criticism for your love for your mother. Congratulations.
You approach the door to the kitchen, hearing the bustle beyond. Even though all the diners have long since finished their mains, it doesn't sound like anyone's taking a rest in there. The instant you reach the door, as if sensing your presence, one of the kitchen staff appears, poking her head out, and she narrows her eyes at you.
No guest access. Not even for a VIP.
Oh. But I'm a nepo baby.
Chives, come on.
No.
You'd think it would count, but apparently not. Your mum runs a tight ship. Actually, she's the owner. It's not like she's the head chef, so she's probably not even in there.
Yeah, that's why she doesn't want me in there for sure. Yeah.
You got to be a chef owner. That's not a high hopes for this restaurant now.
Your mum's a venture capitalist. She's just investing in businesses. Damn, mom. All around.
I know. Mom VC is more branding than
it is. It's my favorite
actual.
New TV show.
Maybe you should check the reservations to see if anyone like was supposed to show up but didn't.
Tight.
There's nobody attending the lectern, the reservation stuff on it, so you can get a good look at it without feeling too awkward.
Nice.
I'm a nepo baby, and I have no sense that this isn't something I should be doing.
Just take some of the jam from your cake and write nepo on your forehead. Everyone will leave you alone.
Yeah. I'm trying to keep everyone calm that there isn't a murder about to happen.
So this reservation desk, it has a phone, of course, as well as a large book open to an early page full of handwritten reservations. This page is actually dated a couple of days ago. Oh, I guess your mum had arranged a soft open before the real opening night. Okay. Nice to be invited.
And for people at home, you can see this list of reservations and things, but Eric will describe it to you.
Great. So my mom is also not organized because this isn't even in time order.
Oh, no, it's just whoever called, they got written down.
Ugh, God. And so there's different stuff. There's all these different times. There's all these different names in various orders. There's different reservation types. There's all courses reservations, and there's also dessert reservations, and then the final column of this chart that my mom made also had arrivals, and only some of them arrived, which is pretty hurtful to do to a restaurant that's not even open. Someone showed up at 2 and did someone, Tom Selleck apparently, had a reservation for 2:10 for all courses and didn't even show up. That's crazy.
That's what I hear about Tom Selleck. He does these things all the time.
I guess so. Interesting. All right. So, yeah, there are some interesting names on here, like Lansbury, Rathbone. This is a cool name. But I wonder about the times here and why some people showed up. I mean, I guess it's in universe. They just did or did not. But I'm there's something kind of peculiar about the fact that how disorganized this whole thing is.
Yeah.
That's what struck me. All the people who were dessert only showed up.
Can you remind me, what was the name of the actress, the movie star?
Shannon Pennell. No. Thank you, Patreon donor Shannon.
All right, name's not on the list. So, and then what's the name of the critic?
I don't think I gave the critic a name.
All right, that's fine. That means it's not a clue that I should be looking for. No. That's okay.
And yeah, these were apparently soft open names from a couple of days ago. So no bearing on tonight's people.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I'm just curious, like, maybe if someone, like, was so mad at the meal that they were served, if they decided to do a poison to ruin the place.
You know what? Yeah. It's always a possibility.
I want to know, and this is veering more into the role play aspect of this particular role play / escape room podcast. I'd love to, if there's like a pad of paper or something here, or maybe the later on in the book, I'd love to go around to everyone and be like, it's so nice that we're due here for my mom's opening of her wonderful restaurant. I just like, you know, I was trying to thinking of doing like a guest book sort of thing where you could like leave a note and sign and just say that if you enjoyed yourself. Because I would love to try to get the names of the guys sitting.
Yeah,
at
the serious men.
And I feel like they wouldn't do it just if I'd asked them.
Yeah, we'll see if you can pluck up your courage for that as the room goes on. The quick scan of the other three tables, none of them looks particularly warm and opening.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Opening? Yeah. That's not the word I meant. Mm. Inviting.
There you are.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. Cool.
And we still got to figure out how to make this antidote.
Yes. I have a feeling there's going to be crabs involved. Yes, we have to figure that out.
No, crabs can't possibly be involved.
No, definitely not. Okay, so Teresa said there was a note that was poorly hidden. You made a joke earlier. I wasn't sure if that was serious or not about it being like just a checklist of like poison someone and then done.
I don't have it specifically written down, but okay. In my head, that is pretty much what it was.
Gotcha. Okay. Cool.
Can I check out the crab tank? I want to know if, if I was someone trying to hide something, I would sure throw it into a crab tank one time.
True, because it's hard to get out because of the crabs.
Yeah. Oh. The tank is short and wide. It is open on top, and there are around 10 broad-bodied crabs sitting at the bottom. As far as you understand crab language, they're not paying you any attention. Mm-hmm. And they seem comfortable enough, even though it is a very boring enclosure. Boring, in fact, you don't see anything hidden. If someone ever tossed anything in there, it's gone or invisible. You don't see anything suspicious.
Got it. All right.
There's
invisible.
Charles and Whitney and Tom and Selick.
No!
Wait a minute. How many names were on that reservation list?
Is that just a list of crabs?
They're all crabs!
Okay, good. There are more. It's more than 10.
Cool. I'd like to check out the cake stand. That's next on the list.
The cabinet is locked with a four-letter combination lock. But, it's glass, so you can still see inside easily enough. It has several plates with little labels in front of them, helpfully telling you the type of cake. The party downstairs must have ordered a lot, because some of the cakes have very little left. And already, you have hit your last image of the room.
Whoa!
Okay. Yes, people at home, you can see this image in the show notes below, but Julia will describe said cakes.
It's like little pie charts is what I'm looking at right now. There's 9 of them. There's an apple pecan, a Battenberg, a cheesecake, a Eisercheck. I've never heard of that one before.
Eisercheck.
Cool.
They're gone real cool. European.
A Kladdekaka. Another one I probably have never heard of and cannot pronounce. Lemon coconut, nonette, a Sachertorte, and an upside down cake. And they have various remaining pieces in each of these cakes. Wait, these are the times. Eric, these are the clock times. These are the clock times.
Oh, gosh, dang it.
Okay, let's look at these real quick. Yeah. All right, hold on. Okay, so.
They sure do look like clock times, don't they?
Right.
But like what are they showing? Yeah, what are they showing us exactly?
Right. Because, I'm, looking at that one, and, I would assume that was, 3 o'clock. Oh, no, that'd be a 6 o'clock one, probably.
So that Lansbury, you think, is the Battenberg?
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess, we'll just have to...
It's, big hand, little hand kind of situation.
Yeah, so the Battenberg, for people playing along at home, the whole right side is leftover Battenberg cake, which means it's got a pure vertical line delineating cake from non-cake, which kind of could be pointing at a 12 and a 6 on a clock.
For the purposes of this puzzle, Battenberg cake comes in a circle.
That's not a circular cake,
we know.
Turn off the podcast. We don't want you here.
Lose our number.
Get some whimsy. Yeah, lose my number.
Cool. All right, well, Julia, I'll start matching these up.
Okay. Then. You got that? All right. I had the Battenberg is for Lansbury.
Yeah.
How about I start at the bottom and you start at the top or something like that?
Yes, I'm just trying to create enough windows that I can look at all this stuff at the same time.
All right. So
there are 12 or 13 names on the reservation list, but only 9 cakes for people at home.
All right. Well, the nonette is definitely 9 o'clock, which is Belle.
Okay. I'm trying to do the upside down cake. God, why am I so bad at clocks? I never thought I was bad at clocks until just now.
That's okay. Yeah,
we're really just sticking it to the Gen Z and Gen Alpha kids.
Yeah. Read an analog clock. Text using the T9 texting.
All right. I think the Sachertorte is Miller.
Okay. Wait, am I going from the top? I was just doing the easy ones.
Yes, if you don't mind. Which one did you get? The Nanette?
Yeah, the Nanette and the Belle. I think that the Claude Caca is the one, the four of, no. I know, my brain is also like, when was the last time you looked at a clock? Never. The Claudica is probably Rodriguez.
Let me look. Yeah, I would say so. That looks right in my mind. This is very fun. This is like tickling such an interesting part of my brain. I love this. All right. I'm going to do the cheesecake next, I guess.
Sure. Here's that. I appreciate that we're doing this. I wish I knew why. That's what's really getting me right now.
Yeah.
It's like, what does this tell us?
Well, hold on. Lansbury, Miller, Bell. I'm just double checking. These are all dessert only, and they all arrived so far. Rodriguez was all courses and arrived.
Yeah, there's four dessert onlys.
The four-letter code.
Oh, God damn it. Yeah.
So, hold on.
It's my fault. I entranced you with pictures.
I know. We got so excited about the cakes. All right. So, Belle is one of them.
I think it's probably the names of the cake, the first letter of the cakes that are matched up with the people. Because it's like, we already have the names of the people. We got to get we got to figure out the cakes that they're related to. And then I think those would be the order, right?
All right, yes. So I got Lansbury is the Battenberg. I don't have Bean yet, which is the 1020 one. So double check that one for me, please. Belle is the Nonette. And then the only other dessert is Miller, which is the Satchertort.
I'm going to go ahead and say the 1020 is probably the upside down cake.
The pepperoni pizza.
Yeah, I think you're right on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, that would be my guess.
Yeah, right, is Bean.
So upside down is Bean.
So
if we're doing them in order, it is Battenberg.
Yeah.
Upside down.
Mm-hmm.
Nanette, and then Saturette.
Oh,
is that buns?
Is it buns?
You put that buns cute. Into the lock, and buns. It clicks open.
Yay.
My mom is inappropriate.
Don't talk about your buns, Mom.
Mom, stop talking about your buns. Jeez.
Now, should you ever require it, you have full free access to all of this cake. Okay. You're going to use all your self-control not to abuse this power. But it is there.
There's not a lot left, so.
This is going to be a thing where it's all going to click into place, huh? Like, we're doing this out of... It really feels like we're doing this out of order.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's going to be like the DIY is like, oh, yeah, you need a crab shell and also lemon coconut. And I'm going to be
also,
like,
and a famous woman. Oh, my God!
It's all here! All right, so we have access to the cakes. We have the crabs. We went into the bathroom already, and we already looked at the reservations.
Mm-hmm.
Well, can we look at the lectern more?
It is that there's also a phone sitting there.
Oh, okay.
Can I call my mom?
Mom, pick me up. Someone got poisoned at your restaurant.
Mom, pick me up. Something's weird's happening. Can I at least, like, yeah, is there any sort of, like, I don't know, caller ID system or stuff on this on this phone, even if it's like an office style phone?
It's definitely an old school style phone. But yeah, you're the owner's kid. Who's going to notice if you pick it up and see what happens? It does the weird little boop sound for a moment. You know how phones go boop.
Sure.
And then an automated version of your mum's voice speaks.
Mom!
To access messages, please clearly say your voice password.
Okay. And then there's a pause.
Buns!
It does not respond to that one, sadly.
You idiot.
Damn, but there is, got us.
There is a pause, and then there's another automated message that comes through.
To make a reservation, please hang up and call back later.
And then another pause, and one final one.
You that no-show, Try hard to call and talk, so here you will be soon.
Oh, that one clearly got scrambled somehow. That was weird.
Yeah, say that one again, please.
Yeah, say that one more time.
You that no-show, try hard to call and talk, so here you will be soon.
What is that?
Yeah, I don't know. Was something missing?
The
robots are not doing well at their takeover.
You that no-show.
Okay, all right. Okay. I'm looking at these no-shows. There's only 4 no-shows, so that's will probably be important later.
God damn it,
I say about every clue, that's probably important
yeah,
later.
Yeah, who are the no-shows?
We have
because I worked hard on these names.
Zavalis, Ustinov, Wrathbone, and Selleck, as in Tom Selleck.
And so far, Tom Selleck is the only noteworthy one.
Yeah, I'm uneducated.
That's okay. This is for listeners.
Okay, great.
All right. We need my mom's voice password. Is there any indication on the voice password that there is a certain number of mistakes you can make before it spontaneously deletes itself?
You're just going to say as many words as you can?
Well, no, I was going to say, like, the name of the restaurant. I was going to say my last name, my birthday, because my mom loves me.
You give him a couple of shots and nothing seems to work.
Okay,
but
cool.
No, you just don't hear any penalty noise.
All right, good. Oh, so we can't contact poison control, so that's out.
Poison control, someone's poisoned. I don't know who.
Poison control, what's the DIY recipe for this poison that got put in someone's soup? I watched a special on it. You should know. I'm just like looking at my little map being like, what did we not touch yet? We looked at the crabs. Yeah. We looked at the cake. We looked at the kitchen. We looked at the bathroom.
Can I get a little more detail about the people?
Absolutely. Which one do you want to spy on?
Let's start with the 3 guys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they had cell phones, didn't they?
No, the movie star had a cell phone.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll steal that later.
Okay.
You observe the table of men, but some instinct tells you not to be too obvious about it. They give you a funny feeling. It's just something a little bit purposeful, almost threatening about their movements. All right, so there are 3 of them, and you helpfully refer to them in your head as tall guy, young guy, and scruffy guy.
Okay.
Cool. Oh, man, what a meal! And quick service, too, says scruffy guy.
Yeah.
That's young guy.
We arrived last, but got every course first. What's your secret, Papa Zappa? You in with the owner?
And the tall guy shakes his head. Nah, it's not about the owner. Kitchen staff, that's who you gotta know. You know I was a dishwasher back in my youth?
No.
I was. And all dish kids, we had our own traditions, our own language. It's a rough job and we like to do favors for anyone who's been through it. You just gotta know the way around your words.
What about your words? Sorry, what about your words?
Tall guy puts a finger to his lips. I'll never tell. But I will say this. I can tell from here that the DJ downstairs, he was definitely a dishwasher too. All right, that's all fascinating. But what really catches your attention is tall guy's name. Papa Zappa. Like of the Zappa crime family? Ooh, yikes.
Yeah, there it is.
That's my uncle.
They're here on the same night as a poisoning. Pure coincidence, I'm sure.
All right, so it's probably one of those guys, huh?
Maybe. Okay, but my thing is, can I go to the stairs out, like the door where the stairs out are, and like try to listen to the DJ? Because I have a feeling that that's going to give us a clue to the weird word thing from the phone.
Mm. You can faintly hear this party going on, and you remember seeing the guests dancing through a window when you first arrived. You don't know very much about it. There is also, to note, the door itself can be a little bit more examined. But for now, you strain your ears, trying to hear a little bit more about what's going on downstairs. The soundproofing up here is pretty good. All you can hear is bass lines, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Right now, the song that's playing, it's got a sharp 3-4 beat. And just as you're getting a feel for it, though, it abruptly shifts to a new song, a standard 4 beats per bar march style. And that lasts for a couple of minutes before... Well, you think the next one might be Zorba the Greek, but maybe. Whatever it is, it's definitely in 2-4. And then once it's done, there's another 4-4. And then to the best of your hearing, it goes back to the first song again. It's a pretty limited selection.
Mm. Okay, interesting. 4-3-4-4-4-2-4-4-4-3-4. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I'd also like to examine the door since you made note of the fact that it could be examined further.
You give it a look. The door is clean, spotless. Then your eyes travel upwards. And just above the door, you spot a small mounted screen. It's showing security footage. There must be a small hidden camera somewhere not far away. You can see most of the restaurant floor in the footage, but it appears to be on a massive delay rather than live. Like, you can see yourself in it finishing your main course.
That's after the soup.
Definitely after the soup.
After the soup.
Hmm. Okay, can I go back to the kitchen? And I want to tell Chives, who is keeping me from going into the kitchen, like, hey, I just wanted to like pass a message back to the dishwasher. You know, just like, can you just tell them like 3-4-2-4 just from me?
What do you say?
3-4-2-4.
I don't believe you. But they look at you with an eyebrow slightly raised.
Oh yeah, you know, I'm not just like my mom's nepo baby kid. I've worked at some restaurants before, so you know.
Doesn't quite seem like it. And they slam the door in your face. Nobody sees the dishwasher. Not nobody, not know how.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
3-4-4-4-2-4-4-4-3-4.
Well, wait, hold on. Chive said, I don't believe you? Or was that just like wrong answer?
They don't believe you.
We don't know the lingo yet.
Mm.
Okay, let's look at the critic and then the movie star. We'll do it up.
As you're walking up to the critic's table, well, he abruptly gets up and you falter, worrying that he's like, noticed you walking towards him. But no, he goes right past you. He's just going to look at the cake case. Oh no, you hope he doesn't open it now that you've unlocked it. No, that's okay. He's just looking. All right. Well, might as well take the opportunity to really look at his table. It's covered in mostly empty plates and bowls, some with tongs, as if he was serving himself from a shared platter. And then there's a notepad, sentences about tonight's meal scrawled all over it. Most of them indecipherably flowery, metaphors you've never heard of before and that make absolutely no sense. Look, every now and then you find bits that you understand. But annoyingly, rather than meal by meal or course by course, he seems to have separated his notes into different flavor profiles, like he's gone by an old school tongue map.
Weird.
Do I have enough time to like ruffle through the notepad?
Plenty of ruffling time.
Absolutely, yeah. You could read in more detail if you wanted to, but there's a lot. It's probably better if you got something specific to be looking for.
Okay.
I've decided his name is Edward Ramekin.
Okay.
That's really good.
That's pretty good.
I like that.
Let's see Shannon the movie star.
Yeah, and we can always circle back.
You can't believe
he's going to be really into these cakes, so we have time.
Yeah, you can't believe that you kept your eyes off her for this long. She's gorgeous, like more so in person than on screen. It's quite amazing. But Shannon, to your surprise, has been dining alone. You didn't think that people as famous as her did that. But she has made up for it all evening by picking up her phone every few minutes and briefly live streaming comments that came into her head. Like, you remember when she received one of the early meals, she picked up her phone, smiled at the camera, and said, "Isn't it weird that smoke is so bad for your lungs, but we can eat it just fine?" And then she put the phone down next to her glass. And then like 5 minutes later, she picked it up again and said, "Crabs are so scary. Anything with more than four legs makes me want to scream, and they have so many more than four legs. Glad I'm not near the tank." Ugh. And then she put the phone down on the table again. It's been a lot like that.
Of course. Julia, would you like to scare this young woman, or should I?
You can go for it. I don't think I would know what to say to this woman to scare her. Is it about how we're all going to become crabs one day?
I think it might be a little bit easier that maybe I could take, if in a kind of a point and click sort of situation, I take my little pointer, which is just an Eric hand, and I go in and I grab a crab And I say, this is exactly what my mom, the owner of the restaurant, wanted. And I say, oh no, Tom Selleck. And I accidentally, intentionally toss the crab onto Shannon's table.
Good.
You look around to make sure nobody's watching and judging too harshly, and you stick your hand into the aquarium.
I got a cutscene. I did it.
The crabs ignore you until you actually touch one. Charles, you're pretty sure. Mm-hmm. Charles goes crazy and he starts pinching all over the place.
Eric.
Fine. I'll deal with it.
You withdraw your hand before it gets serious.
Oh, God damn it. Okay. I need something to protect my hand.
Or perhaps like something that we can get from the dishwasher in the kitchen.
Someone said something about tongs.
Oh, yeah. Where were their tongs? Oh, at the critics table, because he was serving himself out of the platters.
There you go. Well, he's not there, so can
we
just grab
them? He will not miss them.
No, we're going to grab the tongs from the critics table. Charles, you're coming with me. And then I'm going to activate that cutscene and toss it over on Shannon's table.
You snatch up the tongs, head back to the aquarium. So much easier this way. You choose one of the smaller, spry-looking crabs. He's a bit annoyed about being picked up, but
hey,
that's
I'm
okay.
Scuttling here.
He'll have fun with this, right?
They flew these crabs in from New York. That's crazy.
You keep the tongs gripped tight around the wiggling crab and you creep towards Shannon's table. You approach from behind, lean forward, and
so much worse.
Flick your wrist. Just
why would I do this?
The crab comes free and lands directly on her empty plate. She jumps at the noise, and at first she's just baffled. And then the crab's legs like extend out from underneath them, and she shrieks. She just shrieks and scrambles. She goes so fast that her heels like fall underneath her, so she scrambles like on her hands and knees right to the opposite end of the room to go and huddle in a corner.
Great, we're going to take her phone and we're going to Google the DIY recipe for this.
Leave her phone on the table.
So. Yeah, I want it. Yeah.
Oops. It needs a passcode.
I'm sure it does, Shannon.
I'm sure it does. She doesn't have Face ID?
Apparently not. And you know what? There's tears streaming down her face. Her makeup is all over the place. It wouldn't recognize her anymore.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to type in four times. She loves animals with four legs.
She just doesn't like animals with more than four legs. It does not work.
Oh, can I go and look at the security footage and see if it shows her typing it into her phone?
Let's go.
She checked her phone so often during dinner, you shouldn't have to wait long to see her use it. And yeah, pretty soon, on the screen, you see her pick up her phone and she's holding it at an annoying angle. You can only sort of see it. And she's swiping rather than pressing the buttons individually.
Annoying. Oh, I hate that.
But you can get a bit of a sense of what she's doing. Like, she definitely starts right at the bottom of the screen. Mm-hmm. And then she moves diagonal upright some amount. And then all the way left and simultaneously down a bit. Some amount, and then straight down. And then the phone's unlocked and she starts using it. That seems like it's a standard 4-digit.
As I just try to pull up again my phone, please.
Yeah, can you say that again?
It looks like her finger starts right at the bottom of the screen, then moves diagonal upright some amount. Then all the way left and simultaneously down some amount, and then straight down.
Okay.
Is it 0680?
That doesn't work.
Well, I guess it depends if it starts at a zero or starts on the eight, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
It did seem like it started at the very bottom.
Okay, so then 0347.
That unlocks it.
Good job.
Bang, bang. Yes.
Yeah, it was getting all the way to the left in that third number.
I'm pretty good at using my phone.
Good job.
This was a lot of effort just to be able to open Google. But at long last, you can look up Ludovicin and its DIY antidote. Apparently, the key ingredient for this antidote is ground up tree nuts, activated by the presence of poppy seed, bound together with egg yolk. Super simple. Also on here, there's one fun fact that you didn't know about the Ludovicin poison. Just like how orange juice and milk don't mix and are horrible, apparently Ludovicin goes really poorly with bitter flavors and exacerbates them to the point of nausea. Sadly, not enough to make you vomit, that would actually help, but definitely enough to make you feel sick.
All right, I want to go check to see the critic's notebook again and see how he, rated the bitterness of the soup or whatever.
Sure.
You scour until you find the bitterness section of his notes. The herbaceous choices in the main were an expertly taken risk. Clouded coriander is a delight, but so easy to get wrong. Using a garnish that exacerbates bitterness when it goes from warm to cool to warm again? Well, at least we know Saltzfrost doesn't reheat its food.
So, is that yes? I don't speak flowery nonsense language. Is that a yes, Eric?
I think if he liked it, that means that he probably didn't have the soup, because that means that it would have tasted like garo. My understanding is that if he had had the soup with the poison, mm-hmm. and then later on he had bitter, he would have been like, this meal sucks. So my understanding is that he didn't have the soup, or am I misunderstanding what you're saying?
It's possible. But it also sort of implies the clouded coriander was the ingredient in the main that would be the bitter one, but it only really explodes with bitterness or gives off its bitterness if it goes from warm to cool to warm again. You try to feel around in your own mouth for anything like that, and you know what? There is a bit of this clouded coriander still stuck in your teeth. There was quite a lot of it in the main. Again, right now, you can't taste anything super weird about it. It tastes like its normal flavor. But like we said, the heating of it was done really well. It was not warm, then cool, then warm.
I think the movie star got poisoned because we know that everyone else enjoyed their entire meal, right? Because we did. The dude in the thing in the notes did, and all three of the mob guys,
they were like, yeah, great meal.
They're like, hey, I loved how everything went, it was so good, I'm souping here. So I'm wondering, because we didn't ask Shannon, she might
Can we check the videos that she made to see like her reactions, because you said like she kept picking it up and like recording
Why
her
not?
Reactions
she
and she
seems...
did say something about smoke, I think, one of the dishes.
Yeah, one of the early meals probably had like smoked salmon or something in it.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, as far as you can tell from those videos and just from your memory of how she was behaving all night, she also had a great time.
Okay.
So, no one's coriander made them sick with the way the food was prepared right now. But there is still a little bit of the flavor in your mouth, possibly in everyone's mouth still.
Can I heat my mouth back up?
Well, here's my question. I actually had a different question about it.
Okay, go for it.
I don't know about some of these cakes. And I would love to know, do one of these cakes have a lot of tree nuts in them?
That was my question.
Because I don't know what some of the more European cakes
The European ones, not so much. One of the non-European ones definitely has tree nuts.
Oh, the apple pecan, duh.
Yep.
Oh, yes. Okay, cool.
And poppy seeds, right? Egg and poppy seed, isn't that in the cake?
That was in the Battenberg.
Yeah.
The weird Battenberg we were served.
There were poppy seeds on that Battenberg.
Mm.
You do have a small little pile of poppy seeds.
But yeah, the other ingredient that you need to emulsify the whole antidote is just egg yolk.
An egg yolk. Okay. I didn't know if like you needed trace of egg yolk. I could have just mashed the pecan with my cake.
That would be
together.
Nice. Yeah. Work. Mush. Mush.
Okay. So we got two out of three. We have two out of three.
Yeah, you scrape those pecans off the top of a bit of the apple pecan and you can grind them with your knife at your table to get them small enough. You pull out the bits of poppy seed. Thankfully, you didn't eat them at the start. And great. So you definitely got two out of three.
Okay.
If there's only someone in the kitchen who I was trying to communicate with, that would have been so happy. And I doubt the chives will let us in.
Yeah, it's something sort of about, we still need to figure out the thing with the beat that the DJ's doing.
Right. Mm. So the DJ was definitely a dishwasher. That's what Papa Zappa said.
Yeah.
And something about the weird words, right? So it's 3-4-2-4. How about no, and then 1-2-3, no, two.
Could you type that out for me, if you don't mind, in the chat, just so I can look at it again?
Okay, so this was the message here.
Okay.
You that no show, try hard to call and talk. So here you will be soon. So the numbers I got were, and then the numbers we have are 3-4 time, 4-4 time, 2-4 time, and then 4-4 time again. I'm wondering if the numbers, because we're trying to, or the words we're trying to choose, based on this garbled message we have, I wonder if it goes 3 and then 7, so 3 plus 4, and then 9, 3 plus 4 plus 2, and then the 13th word, adding all of them together. So I wonder if the message I need to bring to the dishwasher is no, to, and you. So probably not that, because that doesn't mean anything.
Oh, wait, hold on. You, that, no, show. Is that's like 3 letters, 4 letters, 2 letters, 4 letters. Okay. So I think you just have to give them a message that is like a 3-letter word, a 4-letter word, a 2-letter word, a 4-letter word.
Huh.
Yeah, you're right. It is that. It's 3-4-2-4 all the entire time. Yeah.
You, that, no, show. Try hard to call and talk, so here you will be soon.
That explains why it sounded so messed up.
It does sound weird. All right, so we just have to give them a message and we have to, you know, talk in those numbers.
Yeah, like Papa Zappa said, if you can talk to them in the right sort of way, you can get any favors.
Cool.
So then maybe I would say, can... I need the word egg. Okay, let's start with egg. The first word is egg.
And then what's just walked up to the kitchen, not the there. Excuse me. Egg.
How about I say something like egg give to here?
She listens intently. She scrutinizes, and once all four of those words are out, her eyes widen.
Oh, that was. Hold on.
She gives a small nod and retreats into the kitchen, and a moment later she returns with 2 raw eggs, and she hands them to you.
Here.
Cool.
Who knew we both had wash-up duty? You cool, we pals.
You nod awkwardly and leave. You were talking to a dishwasher or a former dishwasher the entire time.
Wow.
Chives, you're killing me.
Chives.
All right, egg give to here. Thank you.
Egg give to here.
Egg give to here. All right, so now we got these eggs. So at least
we can
let's make
the DIY.
Let's make the
great.
Antidote at least.
You head back to your own table. You take a small plate.
As you leave, the dishwasher says, "And don't be back."
Ooh, okay.
Oh, there it is.
And don't be back.
You take a small plate that was on your table. It used to have a bread roll on it, and you pour your gathered ingredients. You separate the eggs to get just the yolk. You make sure that the pecans are all ground properly. You stir in the poppy seeds, and it looks. Mixed. It doesn't look like a cure to anything, but who are you to disbelieve Google?
I really like the image of this because it reminds me of like the second grade weird girl trying to make a potion out of mud.
At recess. Naturally.
But it's at a table at a fancy restaurant.
All right, so you've got this now. Ooh, you don't know. It's probably only one good dose though, so you need to know for sure. Who has been poisoned.
All right. I'm trying to think about how to make our mouths cold. That's my issue. Is that because if we're trying to, everyone has the bitterness stuff in their mouth, right? But in order for it to super duper activate it, it needs to go from hot to cold to hot again.
Yep.
And I assume it started hot.
Presumably it started hot.
I forgot. Do we have like glasses of water and stuff on our tables? Like, can we just use ice? Or I guess is Australia an ice in water country? I don't know.
Yeah,
can
sometimes.
Be, but honestly, usually I'd say not at a restaurant.
At a restaurant, nah, it'd just be water.
Yeah, it'd be chilled water, but often just tap as well. But look, maybe. But the problem is, you might be able to do that and test yourself. But if it fails, how are you going to get everyone in the room to do that?
Yeah, last thing you gave to the actress was a crab. She doesn't trust you anymore.
Right, and she's still crying. I forgot.
Yes. My only thought is, like, I wrote down that there's a thermostat in the bathroom, but I don't think that's going to impact the flavies of our mouths all that much.
I don't know. They're making faces at you.
They're making faces. I'm going to go change that thermostat.
That doesn't work, you idiot.
Damn. Got me.
To be fair, got me. In Australia, we typically do not have thermostats so much. So they are magic. They can do whatever they want to the temperature.
Oh, excellent.
You head back to the bathroom, you ratchet it way down, and you wait patiently. It's not going to turn freezing, but you wait until the difference becomes obvious in the air. Just enough to give you like one goosebump on your arm.
Cool. And you then peek I out ratchet to the, it back up.
Yeah, you peek out to the restaurant. Some of the diners are reaching for their coats. So now you shift it back up and you get warmer. Your goosebumps go away. You even start to feel a bit warm and your mouth feels fine.
Okay.
You peek out again. Everyone looks normal. Ooh. Except for one of the men. Young guy.
Not
he
young
doesn't
guy.
Look well at all.
No.
In fact, he stands up and he runs towards the bathroom and you duck out of the way. He grapples with the door and throws himself face first at one of the toilets.
Great.
He doesn't actually throw up, but he wants to.
I'm going to tell him we have a great anti-nausea DIY cure for him.
You give him a moment to finish up what he's attempting before you approach him, and he looks a bit gray in the face, wobbles to his feet, looks at you warily, and says, nah, I don't take no things from strangers.
This is from my Nona in the old country, though.
Oh my god.
He just very much stares at you. This is a man who, even for his youth, has been trained not to take things from strangers like that without a very good reason to. You might have to come clean.
You also might have been poisoned, just as a heads up. This is a cure for that.
You know what? He actually takes that pretty well, and if anything, you get the impression this might not be his first time.
Yeah. Mm. It seems like it's not your first time.
He says, unbelievable. And this is such a nice place. And you've got a cure. You're a pal. And hey, if you can find out who's behind this, I'll really owe you a favor. The name's Drew. Drew Ferrari. Thank you to Patreon donor Drew Ferrari.
That's great. Amazing. Very, very good.
I spent a bunch of time figuring this out because I was going to go to Papa Zappa and say, and show this and say, use this on mouth and don't go dyed.
Oh,
you were typing out stuff? Great. Love that for you.
Yeah.
All right. How do we figure out who did this?
You also give him the cure, I assume.
Yeah, of course.
At this point, he'll listen to it. To his credit, he immediately pinches his nose, swallows it all in one go, and already starts to get a bit of color back into his cheeks.
Oh, boy, what a relief. But you know, even though I'm going to be fine, the thought that someone would do this is boiling my blood more and more. I ain't leaving until I know who did it.
And you can tell from the tone of his voice that he's very grateful that you've saved his life, but that gratitude will only last so long if he doesn't get what he wants.
Gotcha.
I also want everyone to know that I spelled mouth, M-O-U-F, just so everyone knows.
Mouth.
It's
my mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, it was Teresa, right? Mm-hmm. like, what was she doing?
Okay, we got to figure out who did this crime.
Last step. Last
We got to get into my, mom's voicemail, right?
Yes.
That seems like a good idea.
Yeah,
is it right. Surs, S-U-R-S?
Why is that?
I'm looking at the people who were no-shows in the reservations thing. And there's only four of them, and you said it was a four-letter thing, maybe?
No, distinct...
It is, but I don't think I did. It is not Surs, but you are very much in the right field. There's just
no-show.
One last thing. To do.
Maybe it's organized by time.
Yeah. U is first. No, selling
S is first.
That's even less of a word. Damn.
S-U-S-R? What? No. But it also could be the weird 3-4-2-4 thing. That would be first one is V.
The third
next
letter.
One is I.
Fourth letter of Houston.
Second one is A again.
Rathbone.
And the last one is a 4, which would be E. V-I-A-E? No.
Vile.
Vile.
It's an L from Selleck.
It's an L.
I'm a little dummy.
A very poisonous word.
Vile.
Oh, jeez.
Did you poison anything?
Well, you say vile as clearly as you can into the mouthpiece of the phone. There is a moment of white noise. This is a really old phone. I can't stress that enough. And then the robot mum voice confirms that you're being directed to your answering machine. And then after a moment, you get some messages.
Hey, this is Causey, calling back after a message from the owner. Just wanted to say I'm sorry to hear about the trouble, and I'm sure we can work something out.
Beep. Cheep.
Hey, it's Causey. Look, we're such old friends, and since we've become so recently reacquainted, I was wondering if you could do me a favor. I've got some friends, the Zappas, who are just dying to come to your open night. Any chance you could squeeze them in?
Cheep.
Hey, it's Causey. Thanks, you're a real star. Now, one last favor, and it's not even really a favor. I've got this nephew who's really looking for some DJ experience. Can you do some volunteer work on your opening night? Maybe let him take a quick tour of the kitchen as well, just in case he decides on a career change. No need to pay him. In fact, should anything go wrong, our family would gladly pay you. And we know you won't turn that down. Oh, and may luck be with you.
He enunciates that part very clearly, and you get it now. That was a 3-4-2-4.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. All right, so it sounds like this Causey fellow has a lot to do with... Wait a second. The name stirs something. Not Lee Causey, the owner of Causey's Refrigerator and Dishwasher Emporium. He's even shadier than Papa Zappa. Why is your mother getting phone calls from him? She didn't. She wouldn't get her professional kitchen decked out with white goods from him, would she? And then he calls her up for a favor that just so happens to poison someone from the second shadiest group in town. Oh man, you may be in over your head here.
Can't believe my mom's connected. Wow.
So here's the question, Julia. Are we telling Frankie Ferrari or whatever his name was?
Do we want our mom to get whacked?
Yeah, are we telling him?
You don't have to necessarily tell him how much your mom was involved.
Yeah, that's true. We could just be like, oh no, he infiltrated the restaurant without our mom's help at all. Whoops.
This is how the beginning of a season of The Sopranos starts, and the end of the season of The Sopranos means I'm dead somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is, you know, you're probably not going to be here for that episode.
That's someone else's problem.
It's down the line.
Steve Buscemi is going to shoot me for some reason. Uh-huh. Jeez. Oh, God. All right.
Okay, let's just tell him. Yeah,
just tell him
that it's the guy.
You can be selective.
And our mom had nothing to do with it.
Don't worry about this. I'll do this. You leave out some about how much your mom may have been involved, but you definitely tell him about Lee Causey, and Drew's eyes widen. It goes all the way to the top of the dishwashing industry. Oh, man.
No.
Look, I might be able to swing this so nobody gets hurt, but you do not want to mess with Causey's Refrigerator and Dishwasher Emporium. Oh, man, look, you're a true friend to the family. I'll tell Papa Zappa to take it into consideration and,
No, just leave my... No, no. Don't involve
no, no,
me.
No,
just,
no,
no,
I insist.
No.
Expect a favor from us in the future.
Jesus Christ, no.
I would like to say, for a dishwashing business, it's a real dirty business.
End episode!
Oh no, we were also poisoned!
Thank you for listening to Escape This Podcast. Don't forget to tune in next week for Podcast This Escape, where we debrief with our guest and discuss the escape room that we just escaped from.